see your, I hear your words today. Let that inner man, that hidden man of the heart, be strengthened and encouraged, lifted up, as you are magnified and as you are exalted. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, typically, we have, my ministry is a teaching ministry, and typically I'm teaching. It seems like that's what I'm doing most of the time, is teaching. This particular message is not a teaching message, it is a declarative message. And there are times I know when we feel like we did not receive what we needed to receive if we don't learn something new. But the Word of God says, let the Lord be magnified. Let Him be exalted in the congregation. Declare His glory and magnify Him in the midst of the people. And that's what I want to do today. I just want to magnify Him. We feel like we did not receive what we needed to receive if we don't learn something new. But the Word of God says, let the Lord be magnified. Let Him be exalted in the congregation. Declare His glory and magnify Him in the midst of the people. And that's what I want to do today. I just want to magnify Him. I just want to exalt Him. I want to glorify Him. And in doing so, hopefully you will be encouraged. Hallelujah. As I am. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. We're told here that when the people of God were expelled from Egypt, when they were delivered from Egypt, Judah was the head tribe of the southern kingdom, Israel the head tribe of the northern ten kingdoms. And if you look at that together, Judah and Israel together make up the whole people of God. He said Judah was his sanctuary, his portion, his dedicated thing, his sacred place, the place where he dwelled. Israel was his realm, his kingdom. And when I see this, I put myself here. I am his dwelling place. You are his dwelling place. We are his sacred thing. We are his portion. We are his kingdom. He's our king and we are the kingdom. He's not a king of a place. He's a king of a people. And when I read this, this is personal for me. Judah was his sanctuary. I read it and I say, Vic was his sanctuary. Vic was his realm and his kingdom. The sea saw it and fled. Let me read that again. The sea saw it and fled. Now, what is being referred to here is the parting of the Red Sea. And what the psalmist is saying is the sea, an inanimate object, saw the dwelling place of God, saw the kingdom of God, and stood back to make way for them to come through. I think we don't have a clue who we really are. I think occasionally we get glimpses of it, but individually as well as collectively, I don't think we really have any conception as who we are when we are in Christ, when we are His kingdom, when we are His people. In our Bible study this morning, we were talking about Mount Zion, the city of God, the dwelling place of the Lord. When I read this, this is very personal for me. Jordan was driven back. This refers to the parting of the River Jordan. The same thing happened when the children of Israel under Joshua came and were ready to go into the promised land. Here is God in the midst of His people. Here is God dwelling in the midst of His dedicated people. And Jordan River stood up firm and made a dry place for the people of God to pass through. And then verse 4 says the mountains skipped like rams. You ever seen a mountain skip? Think about the imagery here. At the presence of God in His people, the mountains were moved. And the little hills skipped like little lambs. And this is the verse that really gets me. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? What was your problem, Red Sea, that you fled at the presence of God in His people? Thou Jordan, what ailed thee that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, what ailed thee that you skipped like rams, you were moved? And ye little hills, what ailed you that you became like lambs? And verse 7 says, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord. And how does the earth experience the presence of the Lord? The earth experiences the presence of the Lord in His people. That's in you. That's in me. And that's collectively in us. Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Referring to the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness when they were thirsty and had nothing to drink, and God told Moses to speak to the rock, and it became enough water to satisfy several million people and their flocks. When has a rock ever experienced such a thing? When has a rock ever had that occur? But at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, the rock became standing water, and the flint, that is a flinty rock, into an artesian well. And so it encourages me to see that there's a whole lot more going on around me than I'm aware is going on, if I can say it that way. There's much more, I don't know how to put this into words. Last week, there were four peaceful Muslims who decided that they would take some bombs into downtown London and kill some people. On the way there, they had powder packed in their backpack. Power enough to render many, many people dead or injured. But because of something that they did or did not do, when they got there, the power was not loosed. And the only thing that went off was the detonator. And all it did was just make noise and smoke. Fortunately. And I think oftentimes that's the way we are. We've got inside us this tremendous repository of power known as the presence of the Lord. That power is sufficient to cause a sea to divide, to cause a river to stop flowing, to cause a mountain to move. But typically in our lives, all we get is a little noise and a little smoke. I speak personally. A little noise and a little smoke when we should be having the kind of thing that is described here. Judah was his dwelling place. Israel was his kingdom. And when he was with them in great power, his presence caused the very earth to shake. That's the way it ought to be with us. Why isn't it? I can only speak personally and say that personally I am much more aware of my own inadequacies than I am aware of the adequacy of the God who lives in me. I am much more able to talk about my inability than I am to talk about His ability. And I am much more focused on my limitations than I am on His unlimited ability and unlimited power. And I wonder if maybe that isn't the case for some of the rest of us. For me, I'm encouraged. I'm exhorted. It strengthens me to recognize. I pray that today, tomorrow, and the day after, it'll make a difference in the way my life is lived. But that will only happen as I embrace this as truth for me personally. Begin to think like this. To become, as someone said, God inside minded. Rather than God up there who's, you know, forgave me and gave me a new life and so on and so forth, but is not terribly involved with every single thing that I'm doing. What ailed thee? I mean, when I've read this psalm, I don't know how many times I've read this psalm, but I don't remember ever seeing this before. But when I read it recently, and I read the fifth verse, I started to laugh. You know, God has a sense of humor. It's almost like a mock. Na 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 na. What ailed thee, O sea, that thou split? And thou, Jordan, that thou was driven back. That's all I have to say. I'm encouraged today. I'm exhorted today. I don't have a clue as to what's going on. I don't know what God is doing in our midst. I wish I knew. But I have a sense of anticipation and expectation. Don't ask me why. I just do. I don't even know what that means. But I do. And I'm looking forward. I'm not dreading the future. I'm looking forward to the future. How about you? Yes. Philippians 2:12. Yes. Yes. And all he really wants us to do is just believe it. And that's why his word is so important to us. It just keeps reminding us, keeps reminding us, keeps reminding us, keeps reminding us of what we already know is true. But we're walking in, somebody said that, I don't remember the exact figures, but those who supposedly know say that we only use maybe 15% of our brain. Is that the right number? It's some ridiculously small percentage of the capacity we have. I don't think we use that much of the power of God that lives within us. It's amazing, actually, when you think about how far short we fall in walking in the fullness. And all you have to do is look at the life of Jesus. If you want to know how we compare to where we ought to be, just look at the life of Jesus. It's pretty simple to see. You look in that, the Bible says that when we look into His Word, it's like looking in a mirror. We look in this perfect law of liberty, as it's referred to. It's amazing that we get along as well as we do, with as little as we are tapping into the power of God, the ability of God. What was your problem, see? What was your problem, Jordan River, that you couldn't continue to flow? Can't you see the Lord laughing? I can almost hear Him laugh. I think He has a good time over some of these things. I know I would if I were Him. Wouldn't you? Well, let's stand together. And so I believe what He would say today is that we ought to be I can minded rather than I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And rather than concentrating on our inability or our lack of, we ought to be concentrating on His complete supply. We ought to be I can people, we can people, rather than I can't or I don't know if I can people. We get the mind of God and then we move. Amen. Thank you, Father, for exhorting us today and encouraging us and strengthening our confidence and our boldness. We appreciate it very much. And thank you, one and all, in Jesus' name. Amen.